This is Parashas Lech Lecha, Chumash Rashi, Part 3. V'gam l'loid halechem Avram, ha'yadi was, tsoy l'vaka, let's get the Rashi here, let's really get the Targum. Icarus and the Targum, they have a Targum together. Targumim, what happened to the Targumim? The Farshim, no, still getting used to this process here. Alright, now we're in business. Targumim, Targum Ungulis, Parashas Bereishis. Here we go. Okay. The Gamble and Halechas Avram, Hoyot, Son of Bokor, Verlim. The Lord also, they're told that Avram had three things. He had Son of Bokor, and Halim. And notice, Avraham was conveyed in this Pasik, Bamikneh, with cattle. Bakesef uvazahov. Loit, it says, it does not say loit hakesh. Avraham and kesef vizahov. Mikne was lumped together in one term. Loit had tsoy uvokar by halim. Now, what about tents? Did Avraham have tents? It's really amazing. Meir, what do you say about this? This is a good diak? Loit, Avraham, they had different assets. Different assets. Avraham had gold and silver and mikne. Avraham did not have oholim. Lot, what did Lot have?
That's what I asked you yesterday.
Yeah, you asked me this yesterday, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Lot had different types of assets. He had tsoinu vakar, he had that's mikne, and he had oholim, but he did not have kesef and zaf. Avraham had Kesef and Zav, but Avraham did not have Oholim. They had a completely different business. They had their wealth came from different sources. They had a whole different, and obviously each one had their own different needs. Rashi says, V'gam b'af l'loid do'azelim Avraham. Let's see first of the Rashi. Rashi, wait a minute, where's the Rashi here? Oh, Gevalt. Where's the Rashi? Targum, I want the Rashi. Yesterday we were able to do this in one shot. Targum here, put the Rashi together. I'm doing something wrong. Yesterday, the Farshim, we had Rashi, but we had the Rashi together with the Targum. I don't want to go back and forth. What happened over here? The Farshim. All right, we'll just do Rashi tonight. Rashi. Let's see Rashi. Oh, here we have it. Targum Ungul. Okay, I think that it figures out what I want. It's smart. Computer is very smart, automatically figures out what I want. Ha-Halechas Avram, mi garm shayla zois halichasai im Avram. Who is, the Pasuk says, what does it mean the Ha-Halech who travels? Im Avram, mi garm shayla calls us. What is the cause? Why is it that Lot was such a wealthy person? It's because halichasai im Avram, that was the source of his wealth. All right, very nice. Let's see what the Targum says. We'll get a better appreciation of this. V'yafla loit do'ozel im Avram, hava o'od means sheep. Visorin aksin umashkinin, and he had like a mishkan at it. Doesn't really explain very much. Okay, let's go further. Pasik above. Veloi nasa isamar is lashavas yachta. The earth did not want to allow them to coexist. The earth did not want to let them be together. Okay, the earth did not want to allow them to coexist. The loy nasa isamar is lashavas yachta. Why not? He hoya ruchushim rav. They had assets were very many. Velo yachlu lashavas yachta. So there is over here a bit of repetition. There is repetition because first it says the land did not want to let them dwell together. The earth itself. He hoya ruchushim rav. Velo yachlu lashavas yachta. Remember today we spoke about that time of Peleg, the earth shattered, and simply that means that the people of the earth, they dispersed, or maybe it means not the people of the earth. The earth itself had some type of catastrophic disaster where it spread. Here, if you notice, there's two different expressions. The earth itself did not allow them to be together. Why? And then it says a separate thing, v'lo yachlu l'shevis yachlu. What's the repetition? You know what almost it sounds like? It sounds like is that the nature of their assets made it impossible for them to be in contact with each other because they had different assets. Gold and silver maybe was ored, it was refined in one part of the world, and the people who were in the Ohalim and the Mikneh was a different part of the world. And then the pasuk goes on to say that even if they were able to live together, even if their business ventures allowed them to cooperate and live together, their personalities did not allow them to stay together. It was a clash in their personalities that prevented them from being together. So look what it says over here in the Rashi. Rashi over here says, we said that okay, so here according to Rashi, Rashi is not saying what I said. Rashi here is saying that the earth was not able to provide enough assets. The Loshon Katsahu, it's a short pasuk. Whenever it says Loshon Katsahu, means you have to add words into the pasuk. Kumoi v'leinasa oisam mirehar. So we're missing a word. The word that we're missing is the mire. The earth was unable to produce enough pasture for both Avram and for Lot. Lefichach kasa v'leinasa b'loshon zohar. What's nasa? It's the earth. The earth is Loshon Zohar. The earth that was not able to provide for them pasture. Now let's see the Targum. Targum on this pasuk says, Vila so voras yosoid aro limitsav kechada. The word sivaras means, and this is a hard, what does it mean so voras? He's translating the word nasa. Okay, we have to see more. Limitsav kechada, to be together. Are hava kin yon hoine sagi, their assets were very much. Vila yochilu limesav kachada, just translated in words literally. And what does the mean the word sorry voras? So in the ma'at sorry, we go here to the videotape, in the ma'at sorry, it's pasik vav, perik yud gimel, just give me one moment, perik yud gimel pasik vav. So here it says, soy varas, l'shoy noisei v'soyvel, to carry. Ho'is lamid, b'sheresh sovol, hischalfa b'arambetz lo'is resh. Okay, so he's teaching us a very nice thing, that the word sovol, the correct translation of the word nosa, means to bear, to be soyvel. Soyvel, to carry a burden, to carry a large burden. The word in Aramaic, there are certain letters where it always interchange with one another. The letter Beis at times is interchanged with a Resh. Very often we interchange a Beis with a Pei. The classic example of that is Barzel. Barzel is spelled with a Beis, Barzel iron. And in Aramaic it's Parzelah. A Beis turns into a Pei. In the Sefer Torah, and in Ksav Ashuris, and the script that you have in the Sefer Torah, inside the letter Pei is an invisible Beis. But here he's telling us a new principle, which I never knew before, and that the word really is to be soivel. Nosa means to carry. To be soivel in Aramaic, or maybe in Hebrew even, to be soivel. And in Aramaic, we take the word soivel with a lamid, and we interchange it with a resh. That's why here in the Aramaic it says v'lo soy voras. That's how we learn pshat here in the pasuk. Okay. Now, there is a problem though. If this gets into feminine masculine, we're not going to go do this. Okay, let's go further. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, "Vayehi Rav, there was a quarrel between Roy Mikneh Avram and Roy Mikneh Lot. There was a quarrel between the shepherds of Avram, the Roye, the shepherds of the cattle of Avram, and Roye, the shepherds of Mikneh Lot. V'yaknani v'yaprizi oz yoshev aretz, and the Canaanim and the Prizim, they were then living in the land. Now, what does this mean? So let's see first the Rashi. Rashi says, "Vayehi Rav, lufi shoyu Royim shaloit rishoim umarin behemtam b'stois achedim." Rashi tells us that the shepherds of Lot were wicked. Now the word wicked is not a very nice word. And you know, if you go and you analyze where it says the word Rasha, it's not really common to find the word Rasha in Chazal, you know, they're very, it's not like we today, we just throw around words. They're very precise, and here it's something very frightening, that Lot tolerated wicked shepherds. How could he do that? How could Lot tolerate Rishoim? But that's what it says, if he show you Rishoim, Shalom, Rishoim, Mar, and Behemtham, the Stoys Achaidim, they were Ganov, and they exploited other people. The Roy Avram Mechichim Oysam, Al Hagezel, the shepherds of Avram rebuked them regarding theft. They what was their response? Nidna Haaretz LaAvram, the land was promised to Avram. The Loi Ein Yoresh, he does not have any shepherds. He does not have any children. Does not have any descendants, and therefore, who is going to be the closest kin to Avram when he dies? They already had it all figured out. The Loi Yoreshoi, the Ein Zegezel. They are custom oimer v'akinani v'apri oz yoshev aretz. At that point in time, v'lo zochel bo Avram adayim, he did not get inherit the land. It's an incredible thing. It's an incredible argument. You go look at this over here. This is unbelievable what's going on over here. Over here, Hashem said, the shepherds of Lot were so wicked, they were two steps ahead. You know, it's like you these conspiracy theories. They tell you that everything over here is a big plan, you know. The global reason you read about, probably don't read about these things. No, you don't. All these crazy conspiracy theories, and like they make these people so sophisticated, like they have plans all the way down to the end of the days. Over here, Rashi over here is saying, if not for this Rashi, you would say that this argument, if this would not be in Rashi, you would say this is a conspiracy theory. What is the nature of a conspiracy theory in the secular world? Talk about, you know, 9/11 was an inside job. You talk about, you know, all these crazy things, these conspiracy theories. What is the nature of a conspiracy theory? It's, there's very sophisticated planning. And the planning is done in steps. There is A, then B, then C, then D. It's not just one time event. There is a conspiracy, that's the nature of the word conspiracy. It's not just, you know, a hit and miss. No, a thrill, one time, there's a plan. And a plan always has parts. There's a sequence of events that have to occur. This Rashi is mamish a conspiracy theory. Now, if not for Rashi telling us, it's the MS. Why do I say that? Because there are two parts that have to be fulfilled. Hashem promised Avraham Avinu that this land will be his. Now, excuse me, right now, who is living in the land? Has Hashem given the land to Avram yet? I mean, even though Hashem promised them the Chazaka, but the land is not going to become the property of Avram Avinu until his descendants first go to Egypt. Until first he has children. He doesn't have children yet. He doesn't even have children yet. He has to have a Yitzchak. And Yitzchak has to have a Yaakov. And Yaakov has to have 12 children. And they have to go down to Egypt. And in Egypt, they're going to be there for 210 years. And then they're going to come out of Egypt. They're going to be 40 years in the desert. And then they're going to spend 7 years conquering and dividing the land. And even when they divide the land, they never really succeeded in conquering the land 100%. It was always weak. The claim, the Achiz and Eretz Yisrael, David was fighting battles his whole life. They never really succeeded. In even today, look, today, it's amazing. We never really succeeded, ever, in having a full claim on the land. Even when we came into Eretz Yisrael and we fought, it's clear as day in Nach and Sefer Shoftim, Sefer Shmuel, that we never really fully conquered the land. There were pockets of resistance that remained in the land until throughout forever, until the whole time of the Bayis Sheni, it's Bayis Rishon. And the Bayis Sheni, we certainly didn't take back the entire land. So Hashem is going to give this land to Avram. That's going to happen in a very, very long time from now, after many, many things happen. Now, in addition to that, Avram doesn't have children. So therefore, who's in close of kin? Lot. How do you know that he doesn't have children? How do you know? Maybe one day he will have a child. Who says Lot is going to be his close of kin? So, we're going to make sure of that. That's the way you're putting together so many pieces of a puzzle to come to your desired result. Hashem will give it to him. That's going to take place in a very long time. And then he doesn't have any children. How do you know that? And therefore, who is the closest relative? Lot. And therefore, it's as if already at this moment in time, Lot owns this land, and therefore it's not Gezel. Now, isn't that, like, really bizarre? Could you imagine a person goes into the bank, and he holds up the whole bank, and he takes away $1 million, and they catch him, and he goes before a judge, and he says to the judge, "Your Honor, this is not called Gezel." Do you know why it's not called Gezel? Because I'm telling you the future. In the future, all the people who have deposited their money and their valuables in this bank, they're going to die. Or they're going to end up marrying one of my relatives. They're going to end up marrying my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and, or at least there's a possibility. Think about it. There's a possibility. So I, anyway, will be the Yoresh. I, anyway, will be the person who will inherit all of their wealth. So I'm just taking my own money. I come to a bank. This is a holdup. It's a stick-up. Hand over the dough. You walk out of the bank. There's a SWAT team waiting for the person. They take him away to jail. They take him to the judge. And you say to the judge, "Your Honor, this, I took my own money." Because if we look down in generations, you're looking down in the crystal ball, you will notice that all the people in this bank will end up being part of my family. They'll marry my children. And therefore, the money's going to, they're going to hand over the money to me anyway. So it's really all my money anyway. The judge will laugh him out, lock him up, put him in an insanity. The only thing he might benefit will put him in an insanity ward instead of putting him in jail. I mean, so isn't that exactly what Lot said? Right now, they were gana, and they stole. And they legitimized their geneva by saying something that is so ridiculous. Avram doesn't have children, even though Hashem said he will have children. And therefore, Lot is closest relative. Wait a minute, is Lot his close relative? Doesn't Avram, Haran, in fact, he was... his older brother was killed. All right, whatever. So let's say, and therefore, Sidney doesn't have any children. Now, Hashem already gave it to him. So therefore, let's go look down a couple of generations, and therefore, it's really ours. The argument is ridiculous. But you know what? This is the very sad reality. A lot of Muslims learn from this Rashi, and that is, when it comes to Geneva, when it comes to Gezela, people, they legitimize what they do in the most ridiculous way, and they say it to you with a straight face. And you see this enough. You see this in government. Sometimes you have politicians, and they say things, they do things, they present things that are totally, totally ridiculous, and they have this convoluted arguments as why is what they're doing is correct. And they can even say it to you with a straight face. And that's exactly what's happening over here. You want to know what a Rasha is? A Rasha is a person who can legitimize their desires and claim their tzaddikim with the most ridiculous things and say it with a straight face. What did they do? They were marrying behemdom b'stois achedim. This is just wrong. And Vehim Oimim, no. With Tzadikim. Nidar it's Avram. Veloyin lo Yoresh. Veloy Yoreshoy. Vein ze Gezel. That's ridiculous. Hashem is the judge. Avram didn't even get it yet. Before you go talk about Lot, Avram didn't get it yet. So this is a ridiculous argument. It really, really defines the human condition. Targum. Vavas matsusa. That's a great word. The word matsusa means there was a quarrel. Why is that word such a great word? Because that's what we eat on Pesach. We eat matzah. We eat matzah. Matzah is, it's a Hebrew word. Shivas yam toichlu matzos. What is a matzah? Well, matzah is related to the Aramaic version of the word. And the word matzusa is a quarrel, a riv. On Pesach, we consume a quarrel, a fight. What's the fight? What are we fighting about on Pesach? What are we fighting? Now, the whole Pesach Seder is a fight. You're fighting with your children. There are bo bonim dibur Torah, and all of the four bonim, they're combative. The Rasha, your mom, as you punch him out. The Tzaddik, the Chacham is not a Tzaddik. Anyone who looks at the Haggadah, anyone who's an honest, you look at a good Haggadah, they're all going to make a very clear statement, all the Mepharshim, by the Pesach Seder, there is no Tzaddik. The Tzaddik, he doesn't speak up. I always prefer to say that by the Pesach Seder, there are really six children. There is the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, the She'eni Deil Lishol, that's four. The fifth child is the Tzaddik. He has nothing to say. He keeps his mouth shut. And then, Rachmana Litzlan, there's the sixth child that doesn't show up. Okay, there are really six children at the Seder. There are six, put it like this, there are six place settings. Six place settings at the Seder. The Tzaddik doesn't say a word.
Tzaddik makes his own Seder.
No, the Tzaddik doesn't say a word. He's a good child.
He has Hasidim coming to him.
Who says that? The Tzaddik comes to the Tata. He doesn't say a word. He's quiet. He takes it all in. The Rasha is the Rasha. The Chacham is the wise guy. A Chacham is a wise. Everything's wise guys. They come, they're there, they're holier than thou. The Chacham is the one that tells the father, you know, you're not doing it right. You're not, you know, the shiurim that you have are too small, the mor is full of bugs, and you know you're doing this wrong, you're not doing your seder the right way, and you know you're not explaining the Haggadah correctly. The Chacham always is a wise guy. Okay, the Rosh always said, and the Tam, he's just very naive. He's not very smart, and the Shein Elishol is not. But he comes. Then there's the Tzaddik, the good child. He doesn't ask any questions, and then Rachmana Litzlan. There's a place setting for a child who never showed up, and all of those children have to be dealt with in Klal Yisrael. And what do we eat? We eat the matzah. What's the matzah? Matzah means a quarrel. The Pesach Seder is a battle. It's a battle. Okay, it's a battle. A battle in the family. It's a battle in Klal Yisrael. It's a battle between Mitchila Oivdi Avodah Zarah Hayaveseinu. We had to battle our way out of that. We had to battle our way out of Egypt. There was a lot of enemies. V'hi sha'am d'laveseinu v'lenu v'shaloi echad bilvad omar aleinu l'chaloseinu. The Egyptians are trying to destroy us. We're fighting back. You're fighting with your children. The Chacham also is a wise guy. He almost says come out the same words, just the response is different. You have to battle with the Tam and the She'eni the Lishol in order to encourage them. It's a battle. The word matzah means a riv, a quarrel. Okay, the riv, v'have matzusa bein ro'e b'irei the shepherds of the shepherds of the animals, the Avram, u'bein ro'e the shepherds, b'irei the loit, u'chena'ano'o u'ferizo'o b'chein. The word b'chein is a great word. B'chein means oz. Uvechein Yosiv Va'arad. Now, why is where Bechein such a great word? Because where Bechein you have all over, it's a Hebrew, you know, Cain, you have the word Cain all the time. But the Nusach HaTfil, what do you say? On Rosh Hashanah, Uvechein Tein Kovel Yamech. Uvechein, I forgot everything. Uvechein Yisnu, Uvechein Yiru
V'Yisnu.
Uvechein Tzadikim Yiru V'Yismachu. Uvechein this, you say Uvechein the first bracha, I think three times very prominently, and there's a fourth time, a fifth time, you say Uvechein over and over. Every single day you say Aleinu L'Shabeach. Aleinu L'Shabeach Al Kain. Nikav L'Chashem L'Kin L'Rus Mir B'Sin V'Rus Tzachlav Yigidu L'Rats. Kain. Esther said, Uvechein Avoy El HaMelech Asher Lo Yichados. So what does Uvechein mean? It means Oz. Chein here is an Aramaic word, but Aramaic and Hebrew are cousins. They're first cousins. They're not second cousins, third cousins. They're very close. They're very connected. And many times we have interchanging of words, but obviously each word has a different connotation and gives a whole different flavor. And when you use one word and you translate it with the other word, it opens up a whole world of interpretation. Here it says, Oz then, v'akanani v'aprizi, Oz yoshe baretz. The Kanani and the Prizi, b'chein. B'chein. B'chein means that's the way it was. Now, Oz, usually, the word Oz, it's a difficult. Oz yoshir Moshe uvnei Yisrael. Then, Yoshir Rashi, the first Rashi on the Shira, he will sing. B'lashoin osid. Oh, but it says Oz. Doesn't the word Oz typically mean in the past? No, it doesn't. The word Oz allows itself to be molded in time to the context of the pasuk. If the context of the word is Yoshir with the Yud, L'shoin Osid, then Oz means then in the future. And if you can have the word Shor, if it would have said in the pasuk Shor, then Oz, Shor Moshe, then in the past Moshe sang. It doesn't say that, but that's what it would have meant. It allows itself to be molded into the situation. So now we have that appreciation, b'chein, and b'chein means, and so it is, u'v'chein avoy el ha-melech. I will go to the king. U'v'chein, what does that mean? Oz, then I will go to the melech. And Oz, we know as a fact, can mean the past, future. Avoy, it creates almost like, it's almost like it's saying is that Esther is saying, I'm not just going to go to the melech this generation. All of the Esthers of all the future generations, they also will go to the Melech Asher Lo Yichados to be Moser Nefesh V'Klal Yisrael. Al Kain. Therefore, we translate it therefore, but also means Al Kain Al Oz. Okay, I don't know, you have to play around with what it means over there. You have to also play around, but okay, it's an interesting idea. At least do with that. Oz and Bechein here is here interchangeable. Okay, now, let me go look over here. It says over here in the Ma'at Sari, on this Pasuk, Matsu saw, it means to quarrel. It gives another Pasuk, V'chiyinotsu anoshim, if two men quarrel, V'nirish akavonu divrei kantor, okay, it means to fight. Okay, it means to have it out. The animal, okay, that's it. Let's now go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk says, Vayomer Avram Eloit. Avram said to Eloit, Al no, sihi meriva beni uveinecha, benurai benurecha, kiano shim achim anach, there should not be a quarrel between my shepherds and your shepherds, because we are brothers. Anoshim achim anach, no, they're not. They're not brothers. Lot is a nephew. What does this mean? This is not a Torah, it's emes. How could the Torah say something which is not true? We're not brothers. Rashi explains, Anoshim Achim, Kiroivim. The word Achim, this is something that we always come back to in the Hebrew language. There's no such thing as the Oxford unabridged dictionary of the Hebrew language. There's no such thing. You cannot define a word. There's no such thing. A word is raw matter. A word is defined in every single usage, every single instance where it appears relative to its fellow words. Words are just raw matter. With each word is really an abstract. The dictionary in the Hebrew language for words would be very, very a short, small dictionary, because you only would translate abstractions, and its defined nature depends upon the context. And here we have Anoshim Achim. Achim would ordinarily in our vocabulary mean brothers, but it's not so. In Lashon HaKodesh, a word is defined in its context. Ach just means there's a connection. Ordinarily, the way it's used, 99% of the time, it means a connection, a biological connection. We share the same mother and father, or the same mother, or the same father. But that's not what the word really means. There is no definition. It just means there is a connection. So here, what is the connection? Here, what is an uncle and a nephew? So Rashi, kiroivim, it means that we are connected via, we're relatives. That's all it means. Then Rashi is another interpretation. Medrash Agada, Doimin beklaster panim. Achim, it's a medrash. It's more of a homiletic interpretation. We appear to the world. We appear to society as brothers because we look alike. That's a little bit shocking because Avram was much older than Lot, I'm assuming. And yet, either I guess it means that Avram was a young man, he had a very young appearance, and Lot aged prematurely, and he looked old, and therefore the gap between them made them look like they were brothers to the world, but it's not a biological fact. Targum Rashi, what does he say? Rav Targum Unkelis, Vamar Avram Lot Locheon. So here, if you notice, we have over here a word that's in bold. The editor of this edition has put in the word Cha'an, which means it is not correct. It is not correct. Al-Na means you're dead wrong. Let's see. We'll see. Tehei matzusa bein beino veinach uvein ra'avosi uvein ra'avosok now shepherds are guvron achin anochma. So what is the significance of the word Lo Cha'an? So he means, the word Cha means now. The word is now. Law, now let's explain. The word na is translated one of two ways. Either it means please. Hashem said by the Akedat Avram, kach na, es bincha, es yechidcha, asher havta, es yitzchak. Na means please, please bring your son as a korban. But sometimes na means now, atah with an ayin. So when we read this pasuk here, I translate it as, please, Vayomer Avram Lot, al na, please let there not be. Let al na sihi. It's almost like these three words go together. And in fact, look what it says over here in the translation, the English translation, let there be no strife between you and me. Now, I'm very disturbed here with this English translation, because if you notice the word, this English translation did not translate the word na. That's not good. Al means not. Al na, let be no. Let there be no. Let there be no. That is al. What's na? Na means please. How come he didn't translate that in English? I don't know. It's not, doesn't mean anything. So what else? It means now. Now, let there not be now. Not please. I'm not saying please. I'm making a statement now. Now, what is the significance of that? Of saying that into that translation? It means then, if you really want to go take this to the nth degree, it means you want to fight? We'll fight. But not now. Now we're not going to fight. We will fight about this. We'll fight about this another time. Later on, we'll fight about this, but not now. And why is that significant? Because there are many midrashim that tell us, what happened to Lot? Whatever happened to Lot? Whatever happened to him? We know that there was a war in this parasha between the four kings and the five kings. And Avram, he saved Lot. What happened next? We don't hear about it. He disappeared into the sunset. Where did Lot go after all this? Avram, he saved his life. Avram went on a suicide mission. Don't you think Lot should hang around Avram? Should be kind to him? He should make a cameo appearance somewhere in the Torah? Gone off into the sunset. So the Midrashim fill in more details. They say that Lot stuck around, and Lot became a very popular person in this world in the form of another one of the Ishei HaTanach. He turned into somebody. He took on a new identity. He got a new identity in this world. And who was he? He was the king of a Canaan, the king of Nineveh. Was he, did he become Paro? Did he go down to Egypt and become the CEO of Egypt? Lot went on to somewhere else. And later on in Jewish history, Avram met up with him again. And then Avram said, you know what? Let's fight. You want to fight? Let's fight. I don't believe in Gezel. You believe in Gezel? Let's have it out. I'll know. Let there not be now a dispute between us. We can fight at a later point in time. Okay, that's an idea. Did I just say something nonsense? I don't know. But you have to explain the Targum, because the Targum says, I'll know. Let's go to the next pasuk. Haloi chol aretz lufanecha. The whole land is before you. He poured on your life. Separate. Pirda. I'll make for you a su'udas preda of a big party. Separate. Im hasmoil ve'emina. If you want to go to the left, you want to become a Democrat, ve'emina, I'll be a Republican. Ve'ma hayamin, you want to be a Republican, ve'asmi'ila, I'll be a Democrat. Wherever you go, I'll go the other way. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. The earth, the pshuta shel mikra, the earth cannot sustain both of us. The earth cannot produce a yield of food for both. So what we will do is that we will split. Rashi says, "Imasmol ve'emina b'chol asher teshuv, wherever you go, loy." So wherever you go, loy esrachek b'mcha. I will not distance myself from you. Ve'emar l'cha alamogin ulezer. I will always be there for you as a shield and as a help. That's a pretty beautiful bracha. V'soif davar chutzrachon. Indeed, Avram Avinu, indeed he needed him. He needed Lot. Shenemar a Lot needed Avram. Shenemar v'yishma Avram kinesh ba'achiv. Ve'emina al go to the right. I mean es atzmi, I'll make my go to the right. Kemo ba'asmi'ila. Asmi les atzmi. The word, it's an unusual word. The word over here is im hasmol ve'emina. What does that mean, ve'emina? This is a very sophisticated use of the word right. Yemin. Yemina. Yemin, right. You're taking an adjective and you're turning it into a verb. Another violation. An adjective is a word that describes a noun. And Avram over here, I will go to the right. Okay, that's another violation of language. To take words that are primarily nouns and to transform them into verbs. Like we did yesterday with the word ohel. Okay, yesterday the word ohel, asher hoyasham oholo, which we learned yesterday, means where I spread out my shelter. We took a noun, a tent, and made it into a verb. Here we're doing the same exact thing. Ve'imina, yamin is an adjective. It is a description of a noun. And here we're making this into a verb. Ayimin esatzmi k'mo ve'asmi'ila asmi'la esatzmi. V'im tov b'chayla l'nokin ve'ay. Oh, that's the case. It should say ve'ay yamina. Not with a tsere, ve'ay. It should say ve'ay yamina. Not a kasha. Kach mutzim b'gamacher im yesh le'heimin. Ve'ein nokud le'haimin. If there is, I don't even know what this means. I'm embarrassed. I don't even know what this means. But the point here is that Rashi is coming to apologize. You don't have to be so makbe. Don't chap me on TikTok. Don't get me here on TikTok. Even though really it should be a patach under the aleph, and the yud should be a shva. Listen, I have precedent for this. There's another similar usage of this word, and there's also a tsere, and there no one's going to disagree with anyone. It's going to be one interpretation. So therefore, even though it would appear to be according to the rules of grammar in the textbook that you buy in a bookstore, it really, they would tell you, encourage you, that a word like this should be misspelled the ayemino according to my interpretation. Have no worries. There are exceptions. Okay, that is Rav's official Targum. Targum here says, Halo kol arat kodamach isperash ke'an. Now. Again, he adds the word now. Milivasi im at litzipuna. Now, this is an amazing thing. Targum over here translates the word yamin as north. Whoever said the north is the right side? Where does that come from? The north is the right side. V'anol lidoroima, I'll go to the south. V'imat lidoroima, and if you're going to go to the south, v'anol litzipuna, I'm going to go to the... That means, which direction is Avraham? They're facing the Mediterranean. They're standing in Eretz Yisrael, and their faces are towards America. They're standing in Eretz Yisrael. They're looking straight ahead. And what do they see in front of them? They're looking to the West. They're looking to America. Looking out to the Mediterranean, out into the Atlantic Ocean, all the way down, probably to the upper portion of North America. They're looking at America. Canada, maybe a little bit. They're looking in that direction. And that's why if you go to the right, you are to the north, and if you look to the left, you're to the south. Why would Rashi, why would the Targum want to do that? So, here it says, Kosav Rabbeinu Bachya, V'yesh L'tmoya, shocking statement over here, V'yesh L'tmoya, what's going on over here? Eich Oma V'asmila Es'atzmi V'chavos L'Avram Leilich B'dorim. My inyan zelazeh, how does that mean, how do you know this? That means he's looking towards the Mediterranean, since when? Kloimar. So what does he answer? Avol bir v'asmi'ilo hakavona boy o yischokoim al kochot tzachot shetelech l'tzafayin. So I guess what he says over here in a nutshell is, right now, where are they living? Right now, they were in the southern portion of the land. This is what he says. It's a very, very important targum. It's a really powerful targum. We'll stop with this. It says, we learned yesterday, when they left Egypt, after the famine, they came back to Eretz Yisrael, they went to the Negev. Hanegba. Vayelich lemasav Hanegba. They went to the south. So if you're in the south, and one of us got to go, there's just not enough room here for both of us. One of us has to go up north to separate. If we're, the Torah defines the location where you are as in the south, then the alternative has to be the north, because Eretz Yisrael, you only stay in Eretz Yisrael. And thus, in At Litzipuna, if you are going to travel, that changes the translation of the pasuk. I'm going to stay put. In kindergarten, they taught us this pasuk means we're both going to move. We're both going to travel. Right now, we're in the middle, and we're both going to travel. If you want to go to the left, and I'm going to walk to the right. If you want to go to the, we're both going to move. That's all it means. One of us is going to stay put, and the other one is going to move. Right now, where are we? We are in the south. So he says to him, "Im at litzipuna, if you are going to travel to the north, I'm going to stay put right here, not to get in your way. But v'im at lidoroima, if you lot want to stay here, I'm leaving. I'm going to the north." Okay, that totally changes the whole pasuk. It gives the whole pasuk a whole new meaning. Akavon bo oischo, you're going to go. You're gonna have to go to you're gonna have to go the other direction. Okay? Im at litzafayna, if you're gonna go to the tzafayn, to the right, which means upwards, Im hasmoil v'yemina. So the smoil is, what did I say? The smoil, the left, is the north. Wait a minute. The north, no, I made a mistake there. Im hasmoil v'yemina, that means they were facing, this makes much more sense then. So im hasmoil, did I make a mistake? I'm sorry. Im hasmoil, if you're going to go to the smoil, which means, according to the Targum, then I made a mistake. In At Litzipuna, you go to the north. Right now we're in the south. And if you're going to go to the north, so that means I made a mistake. They're not facing the Mediterranean. They're facing Iraq. They're facing Syria, Saudi Arabia. They're facing the opposite direction. If you are going to go up north, that's the small, I'm staying right here in the Negev. And if you want to remain here in the Negev, then I'm going to go up north. Okay, same idea, but just, and we change it. Okay, we'll stop over here. Thank you very much for coming. coming. Have a wonderful night, everyone. Gracias, Shukrach.
Good night, regards, everyone.